This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended Constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the New World Order. Prepare yourself. This is the Alternative Media.
Welcome to the alternative media, in this case. And in Farron's absence, I'll take liberties to call this show Brutally Honest Broadcasting with Paul from Jersey. This is a one-time Saturday broadcast discussing politics, current events, disinformation, lies, and propaganda that the smegma-laden mainstream puppet corporations tell you, and that the federal government in the United States doesn't give a tinker's cuss whatsoever of representing we the people. It is Saturday, July 2nd of 2022 in this American dystopia, because that's what it is, people. It's a dystopia. And it seems like it's getting worse. Now, listen, I want to say what a complete honor it is for me to fill in for Farron today. You know, he's such a great talk show host. He's so classy. He's a gentleman. And I got to admit, I always like those Southern accents. I have always liked them. And I'll do my best to live up to the high standards of broadcasting that Farron has set. And I hope I can do a decent job, and I entertain all you people out there listening, all five of you. Right now, you know, speaking of Southern gentlemen and Farron, I was always a fan of the Allman Brothers, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Marshall Tucker Band, and Southern country rock and roll. And I hope I don't alienate his audience from him with my New Jersey Northerner hijinks. So I'm going to try to behave myself, but I think I already blew it. Anyway, remember, I want people out there to remember, Farron is letting the people hear from a caller that some callers like, some people do like me. And so he's being fair towards his audience, and he's being very democratic and giving the people what they want to listen to. And so I think it's... And we need to remember, Farron will be back next week, and this show will be hopefully long forgotten. All right. And I'd like to remind you, if you don't like me, do tune in to RBN anyway. Remember, I'm just a temporary host. It doesn't. My association with RBN should not besmirch the good name that RBN has. And I would also remind you people out there not to be tightwads with the money and blow the dust off your wallets and get some cash out and send it into RBN to keep this network running. You know, they do a great job. I really, you know, I'm not a big diversity person, but they do have a lot of diverse shows with dissenting opinions. If you're a lefty, you'll find people on this network you'll agree with. If you're a far righty like myself, you'll find people you agree with. And so in a sense, RBN is the... What should be our main media should be like RBN, in the sense tolerant, allowing dissenting opinions, and letting the adults do what they want, you know. And so I really don't think we should, you know, don't try to lump me in as this is getting the approval of RBN, or really, you know, RBN is sanctioning, or not sanctioning, but promoting me. That is not the case. And then one other notice before I get to one of my main topics is, I'm happy to see that Pride Month is over, and everybody has been hopefully not molested. And it's good to get back to a normal month without having some kind of association with some oppressed minority. And I hope the liberal perverts have been able to go back in their closets for a while. You know, because they tell you it's exhausting giving the whole month of June and making it Pride Month and the rainbow flags. You know, one thing about these rainbow flags, I never get it. I never see, you know, a rainbow is pretty in real life when you see it. But the reality is, if you think of high art and the great paintings of the world, right, you think of the Rembrandts and others, they really don't slap a lot of those bright, contrasting colors into one place as they do with the pride flags. And so I really find the pride flags, the idea of it ugly, is ugly. You know, I don't want to hear about your sexuality. But I also think they chose the most, you know, for people who claim to have good taste and, you know, as interior decorators and the flower arrangers, you would think they would make a flag that is aesthetically appealing, but it's not. It's really a hideous-looking flag. I just find it revolting to see them in front of people's houses and dotting the landscape. It's disgusting. Anyway, what I want to start talking with, and I wrote a bunch of notes, I'll probably go off my main theme plenty of times, but I want to start with this. What's up with the black Supreme Court members having white spouses? Think about that, you know? There's two black Supreme Court justices now, and they both have white spouses. And that's just remarkable in the sense, first of all, only 30% of blacks marry. You know, and then you factor in how few blacks are married to white women, and yet, or white men in the case of Jackson. And yet here we have two race-mixed Supreme Court justices up there. And we should also remember blacks make up about 13% of the population. Now they represent 22% of the Supreme Court, so they are overrepresented in the Supreme Court, as are Catholics. Now, I hear that I read about the bio on Ketana Onika Brown Jackson over at Wikipedia, and that's where I learned her interesting name, Onika. And I was reading about her at Wikipedia, and I thought it was ironic, and this is directly from Wikipedia, that in 1989, when Jackson was a freshman at Harvard, her uncle Thomas, get that, Uncle Tom? Uncle Thomas Brown Jr. was sentenced to life in prison for a nonviolent cocaine conviction in which federal agents found 14 kilograms of cocaine, which is about 28 pounds, wrapped in duct tape, court records show. Years later, Jackson persuaded a law firm to take his case pro bono, and President Barack Obama eventually commuted his sentence. Notice that. Notice they commuted his sentence. Is there an ethnic thing going on there? A little racial, you know, quid pro quo going on there with Uncle Thomas Brown? I thought that was a funny thing to read about our new Supreme Court justice, and also to show us a little black Afrocentric nepotism going on there with Barack Obama. And you know, I could go off, and I probably will go off on one of the reasons I'm against interracial marriage, and I think it really is a big issue, is because if you take a look at Obama and Colin Kaepernick, that failed quarterback from San Francisco with the kneeling, if you notice, both of them are of mixed racial origin. Both of them had white parents, and ironically, or is it even ironic? It's just kind of the pattern that both of them were raised by the white side of the family. Now, you would think that if you had a white parent who actually raised you, these people of color might identify or sympathize with whites. But the fact of the matter is, Barack Obama and Kaepernick, they both side with the black side of their family, even though the black side of the family had nothing to do with raising them. They were raised by whites. And it's just remarkable. And they always tell us, oh, skin tone doesn't matter. Your skin color doesn't matter. And yet, why is it that the dominant skin color, which is black, as we know through genetics, when you mix blacks with whites, the children are always black, they're often browner and a lighter colored wine, but they're never white. And the dominant racial characteristics of African people comes out and is expressed in these mixed race offspring. And so if you have a mixed race couple and a black parent, typically the male is the father, and typically the father abandons the white woman. The children always turn out to have, you know, black brown eyes and black brown skin. You're never going to see a blue eyed woman marry a black person and then have blue eyed children. That's not how it works. So when you get the offspring of racial mixing, white people lose out. The children don't look like white people. And as in the case of Barack Obama and Colin Kaepernick, their politics don't go along with white people, right? Their politics are black politics. And so what do white people gain demographically when we allow interracial marriage? We don't. We lose our numbers. We lose our demographic power. And then we have these mixed-race mulattoes who are, and this is often happens with biracial people, that they are prone to feeling alienated because, you know, on a subjective level, they don't really identify with one, but they don't identify so much with the other, so they're not accepted fully by blacks, they're not accepted fully by whites, and so they're they're alienated. And I think they become angry about this, and they and instead of taking their anger out in the politics of blaming it on whites like a Kaepernick and an Obama does, why don't they take it out on their parents that caused this to happen? You see, and I am one of the few talk show hosts out there, well, not host yet, but I'm one of the a few people out there who openly says I am against interracial marriage. I am against the Loving versus State of Virginia case that established and allowed interracial marriage and made it codified and acceptable, and that I think it doesn't serve white purposes, so why should I be for it? You know, why should I take up the cause of other races when our race seems to be getting worked over and hammered, attacked? Our statues of Southern Civil War heroes are being torn down by whom and when? Seems like a lot of that was because of the Black Lives Matter movement. And so how do white people win? By going along with this phony charade saying, oh, yeah, we like interracial marriage. We think it's fine. When the reality is a lot of people, they don't like it. And, you know, there's a great animal metaphor or analogy for this is because, you know, it's ironic that you'll see, let's say, an upper class blonde white family, and they have their blonde daughter, which always, you know, is like the most extreme of whiteness, you know, the most Nordic type. And when they marry a black man, you know, these liberal blonde parents, they're like, oh, yeah, it's fine. It's all cool and stuff. And then a day or two later, they might go to either the horse track and talk about the purity and the racial purity of the thoroughbreds, or they'll be like, oh, I don't want my golden retriever to breed with a pit bull. You see, and that's the hypocrisy of these people that, and I'm like this too. I'll tell you, I have a policy I kind of just don't like. The mixed racial types, I really don't. I don't like mongrels as a thing, and I don't like it really in dogs. I have to admit this. I like my dogs to be, and I don't own dogs, but just generally, I like the thought of purebred dogs. I also believe that certain dogs never should have been bred, but I do believe, you know, you want your lab, a black lab in my case, if I was going to get a dog, to be somewhat purebred, or at least I couldn't notice, but I definitely wouldn't want it mixed with a pit bull. And so I think those are some of the reasons to be against interracial marriage. We lose our numbers. The people who are born and issued, the mongrels have weird politics, and it doesn't benefit the white race. We lose our demographic power. And so I'm really not fans of either of the two Supreme Court justices who married outside their race. And I really think we should work towards overturning, and maybe the Supreme Court will listen to somebody taking up states' rights, because to me it's a states' rights issue. It has nothing to do. I don't buy the 14th Amendment interpretation of Loving versus State of Virginia, and that we should overturn that. But I'm not expecting Clarence Thomas or Katana Onika Brown Jackson to overturn it by any means, because they are, they would be biased, and maybe they can recuse themselves. That would be an idea. All right, that exhausts that topic. Now, listen, here's another item for the older single fellas listening to this show, all five of them. I would like to remind them, if you're single, that Elena Kagan is single, as is Sonia Sotomayor. She is single also. And I find it ironic in the Supreme Court that the two women who are Jewish, and a sodomizer looks like she is Jewish because her mother's maiden name was Baez, like the horrible 60s leftist lesbian singer Joan Baez, who is Jewish. And so from the looks of it, Miss, I just think it's ironic that you have two likely lesbian Jewish women on the Supreme Court also. And I always look, you know, I kind of do that. I'm like, part of me is being a self-professed eugenicist. I do look at individuals as like looking at livestock. I really do. I look at people as their countenance, their physiognomy, their, you know, their breed, and if they're of good racial stock. I do that. I'm guilty of that. I'm a horrible racist person. Now, what I wanted to talk about, too, today is there is a viral video going around at Daily Stormer, and I do urge people to see this video because it is a tearjerker. I tell you, it's kind of like at the end of Saving Private Ryan. Because at the end of Private Ryan, when I forget the name of the main character, played by Matt Damon, but he is transmogrifies into from the youth into, I'm sure everybody's seen it, so this is kind of a wrecking the movie for some if you didn't see it. But at the end, they have the old man at the graveyard in Normandy, and he's shedding tears. But for me, when I watch old men cry, man, it gets to me. It pulls at my heartstrings. But this old 100-year-old fella is decrying what happened to America since World War II. In other words, a lot of people are having that thought. Why did we fight? Why did whites embark on this incredible fratricide of World War II? And how the world has been perverted since 1945, how it's gone from somewhat conservative society where people would marry, interracial marriage was rare and scarce, shunned, to a society where we have openly gay parades in public, we have schools trying to indoctrinate children into homosexuality, we have the schools trying to wheedle their way into telling children about sexual pleasure. And this is the world these men, many died for and risked their lives for, and this is what happened. This is modern America. This is the dystopia. And I would argue that this is the world you get 60 years later, and I mean 60 years specifically having to do with the 1960s because of the Civil Rights Act and the Immigration Act of 65, which allowed the migration of non-white people in incredible vast hosts, huge amounts of numbers of these third world migrants coming to this country, changing the demography, which contradicted what Ted Kennedy promised would not happen. And we took our beautiful white country and we handed it over to Jews, blacks, unmarried women, and homosexuals. Let's be honest, when it came to the Biden election, that is the core group of people that elected Biden. And Hispanics, I should include them, because 66% of Hispanics voted for Biden. So when you're wondering what's going on, why is the United States screwed up, the fact is they run the show now. We white heterosexual males are the minority. And we are allowing, and we are allowing, these people to run the show. They're the majority now. And they chose Biden to rule over us. And so, as you know, and you might have heard me make this point in former calls, but I think it's a very cogent and a point. I think it kind of hits hard. So don't blame the Klan for the 2020 Black Lives Matter riots. The Klan, if the Klan was running this country, I don't think those riots would be happening. Don't blame George Lincoln Rockwell for the state of America today. No, you can't blame him. You can't blame him for opening the floodgates to the hordes of Central American Indians. He didn't do that. He didn't advocate that. And I hear the we're going into break, and I'll get to you after the break here on RBN. This is Paul from New Jersey filling in for the great Barron Show.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
This is Paul from Joyzy back, filling in for Farron Schoaf. By the way, thoroughly enjoying that metal bumper music. You know, I got to admit, I wasn't a big metal guy in my day. I was a, you know, Grateful Dead fan, you know what I mean, Southern Country rock and roll. And then I got corrupted. I started liking Frank Zappa and some of the jazz guys, Al Meola. That was kind of my stuff because I play guitar, so. You know, I really wanted the extremist guitarist, but man, I didn't really care for the metal singing and some of the satanic imagery, but their instruments are awesome. They've got some great guitarists. Anyway, getting back to my theme, don't blame the white Southerners for this, that wanted to maintain segregation for this current state of the United States. No, you can't blame them for what's happened to America. All those people back in the 60s who were against civil rights and against the immigration, those were the people who got it right. They didn't want to teach the world to sing. They wanted to maintain societal order. They wanted to continue their traditions. They wanted to perpetuate their people. They wanted their land to be dominated by white European people. And so Bull Connor wouldn't want to dress your kid in drag. No, he wouldn't. George Wallace wouldn't want your kids being taught about transgenderism. No. And you know who you can't blame either for the state of the United States? Can't blame the eugenicists. No. You can't blame Margaret Sanger for this. Margaret Sanger said, you take these dummies on welfare and you fix them up a treat and you give them, maybe let them keep one child, but otherwise you bring them in to get sterilized if they're on welfare. No. So you can't talk about the urban ghetto problem and blame that on Margaret Sanger. No, you can't. The fact is, when Loving versus State of Virginia was decided, that was a de facto abandonment of eugenics. The fact of the matter is, one of the things that's been corrupted over the decades is, you know, and everybody in hindsight and, you know, in modernity, they always look down on the people of the past and they're like, oh, they were ignorant. They didn't know. And we're going into break and I'll try to continue on that point. And this is Paul from Joyzy filling in for the Great Farron Schoaf. On the alternative.
Far away in a land caught between time and space, where the books of life live with the air. This castle lost all, the mountain king roams all alone. Lost inside.
truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
And I'm back, and man, I'm envying those guitarists that almost make me want to cut my fingers off. They're too good. Anyway, getting back to where I left off, I said that when Loving versus State of Virginia was decided, that was a de facto abandonment of eugenics, and I contend that because I believe that whites have higher IQs than blacks do. That's been pretty much established, proven over and over again. In the bell curve, I read that back in the early 2000 time frame, and I enjoyed it. And so I find that is basically established anthropology. But we should remember, when we abandon eugenics, we abandon all the things, white supremacy. You think you're going to be able to sell white supremacist ideas to Hispanics or blacks? You're really not. But part of the reason why they push the interracial marriage is, the fact is, if you are so weak as to let your blonde daughter breed with a black man, doesn't that demoralize, when that couple walks down the street, doesn't that demoralize the white men? You know, and so in a sense, it's part of just another of the many myriad forms of what Kevin McDonald referred to in his book, The Culture of Critique, of a Jewish attack and a Jewish societal cultural attack on whites and white identity. That's what whites have suffered from before World War II, because it's that Jewish attack that got us into World War II, and it's probably also the case for World War I, too. The fact is, we have the Jewish race is so hostile and so insistent upon being dominant. And by the way, let's be honest, they are dominant. They took over. They run the media. They run the banks. They're running the Ukraine versus Russian war. They instigated that war. And it's the Gentiles who die. So whatever kind of eugenic scheme they have, and remember, Jewish eugenics is different than white Gentile eugenics. We have different agendas. And so this is just more interracial marriage, more of just a Jewish cultural attack on whites. And this is why they rub the Holocaust in the noses of the whites day after day after day. A prolonged bombardment. Media, you know, through academia, politically, and financially. And now we're getting it from the corporations, because the corporations have bought all of this agenda. And they're just attacking, you know, all out, race mixing on any of the networks, the great replacement of just ethnically cleansing whites to humiliate whites, to demoralize whites. That's part of their campaign, a prolonged demoralization. And so, as I said, whatever you do, you can't blame Hitler, you can't blame the isolationists and the nativists, you can't blame Charles Lindbergh. No, you can't blame George Wallace. Not their responsibility. And we know who it is to blame. You blame the voters to an extent. You blame weak whites that have gone wobbly and that go along with this agenda. You blame I blame the white males who are willfully ignorant and prefer to watch football and their little sports games instead of reading books on the problems of this country and what happened to this country. I blame a lot of those fellas. Fellas, come on, you got all day, you know, all right, you work, but on weekends you can crack open a book. And you know, there are great websites. You can listen to RBN, you can go to the Daily Stormer, other right-wing websites, to learn, because you got to go to those websites, because that is the polar opposite, the antipode, of those on the far left, which is all the corporations, you know, major media, academia. Now, the Jew Daniel Goldhagen, and I'd love to refer to that book, because I think he has basically established the president. He wrote a book, it's called Hitler's Willing Executioners. And what he does is he tries to lay the guilt about why Hitler did his atrocities is to further blame it on the Germans, because Germans elected Hitler, so they're responsible for Hitler. And I think there's a valid point there. I think that's an element of truth, but that's not the way I interpret World War II. But I think there's an element of, yeah, the German people did approve of what Adolf Hitler said. Many of them read Mein Kampf. And so they were a very educated group of people, the most well-read people on the planet at that time, per capita, and they elected Hitler, as any enlightened person of that day would have done after seeing what Weimar Germany was like. Right? And the fact of the matter is, we have almost a Weimar America today, and I have a conspiracy theory, which is basically, is Joe Biden trying to, you know, you can't get people to be a Nazi in modern America by saying, like, hey, everybody, let's be fascist, let's be Nazi. That isn't going to get anywhere. And how are you going to educate and bring these dullards watching the basketball game or the hockey game to adopt white supremacy by trying to educate them? They're not going to read your book. They want to see the puck go on the ice. They want to see the ball bounce up and down. Those are their priorities. Well, maybe Joe Biden is a secret Nazi, and the way he's doing it is create the Weimar Republic, and then there will be a backlash, and people will go to the far, far right. Make things so bad in America with the hyperinflation, with the cultural and social degeneracy of gay marches, gay parades, transgender agenda, that people react and hopefully find some populist right-wing leader with some charisma to get out there and lead the people. That's part of the problem. Where do you find men brave enough to take the cultural assault, the financial assault, and constant harassment in modern America to go into politics and ultimately take over this country? And with Germany, they had it was all white with a Jewish minority. How do you do that in modern America when whites are probably below 60% of the population right now? How do you do that? So, we are where we are because we abandoned white supremacy. And as I love to remind people, if you think white supremacy is bad and you're white, wait until you get white inferiority, because it looks like we're on an avalanche or a rolling snowball going down a mountain, getting bigger and bigger towards a total disaster to this country. So in a sense, it seems like we have to start maybe working towards carving out a section of the country, like de facto white land, right, by self-segregating, by trying to move to the red states. You see a lot of that happening. What Kevin McDonald calls implicit community, because you're not allowed to say, hey, let's all go gather at the all-white rally. No, that you can't do. But if you just go to a NASCAR car race, it's like 98% white at the NASCAR car race. And you'll have the occasional white guy with a Filipino wife, right? That'll be about it. And so, those are my views on this issue. And I have a lot more written about slavery. I could trash blacks. I could do that. I think I trashed them quite a bit already. And I could read news items, which I didn't really have prepared. But before I go, I just want to remind people one thing. I do urge them to read Thomas Jefferson's Notes on Virginia, particularly Query 14, because it's very interesting, because Jefferson is basically like, at that time it was the early stages of anthropology where the thinkers of the day were starting to look at the differences between races. And what's funny about that is whites basically figured out the difference of races way back. It definitely had it down by the late 1800s. They had it all figured out. It was done. It was concluded until Jewish anthropologists like Boas came along and started to undermine that. But they had already figured out differences on races. But concerning the races, what Jefferson talks, he talks about the black character. And he also talks about American Indians, but one of the things he says at the end of Query 14, and I'm quoting, he says, "Among the Romans, emancipation required but one effort. The slave, when made free, might mix without staining the blood of his master. But with us, a second is necessary, unknown to history. When freed, he is to be removed beyond the reach of mixture," unquote. And I hope people understand how important that is, that what Jefferson is saying there, because the fact of the matter is, we and people self-segregate anyway. you know, because of black behavior, the criminal behavior, the how a lot of the what they've done to urban centers. I don't think the George Floyd riots and the Black Lives Matter movement helped much when it comes to getting whites to want to live among blacks. And so that's why you're seeing, you know, the floods of white refugees leaving the Afrocentric cities, right? Especially when the African population takes over the government and runs an agrocracy, kind of like New York City right now, where you have a very nepotistic Mayor Adams, who appoints, so he's got a black attorney general, he's got a black police chief, and whenever they, you know, another black criminal, they, you know, some black person shot a 20-year-old mother in the head. Derailed my train of thought. I was bad-mouthing the cities. We all know what's going on with the cities. We know it's a big problem. Everybody's leaving. and what's funny about it all, nobody's honest about it in the major media, and it's embarrassment for the major media because they promise us Shangri-La, they promise us flying cars, right? They promise a higher standard of living. And for some reason, 40 years later, they didn't deliver, did they? Right? We live in a dystopia now. And, of course, the solution from the corporate media will be more of the same. They'll promise us, oh, we need more immigrants. We'll solve that problem. That's what most of the, you know, you hear about the Jewish economists. Oh, you need more non-white immigrants. They'll solve the problem. Right? They try to push that on the Europeans. Oh, yeah, Africans will cure your problem, Europeans. That's the solution. They even push it. I remember hearing, I don't know if it was Robert Reich or it was one of the New York Times nepotistic Jew writers saying that to the Japanese. Oh, the problem with Japan and their failing birth rates is you need to bring in immigrants from other cultures. That's what they do. Really some sick stuff going on there. And we now we get to reap what we've sowed, right? Or what reap what they sowed. Because remember, we write white right-wing neo-Nazi types like myself. We're what? 5% of the population who are honest about it. But I'd say there's another 10% of white guys who are totally sympathetic to our views and just, you know, their fear for their jobs and their livelihoods, and they're having a good standard of living, so they don't want to endanger it by speaking the truth. And, you know, there's a lot of societal and social pressures to not let them go further right wing. But as Weimar America gets more and more absurd and dysfunctional, the fact of the matter is, the populist far-right white nationalist movements and white separatist states movements are going to become desirable. And
So I do advocate that people consider relocating and moving to white states, and I will get back to you here on the Alternative Media with Paul from Jersey.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Roe v. Wade is gone, and I believe it was the progressives' fault. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. I believe abortion is murder, but I didn't say much about it until New York and Virginia started to allow abortion up to the moment of birth. It was those laws that got me involved in politics. Those two states inspired me to write my first book. If abortion had stayed safe, legal, and rare, many people would have just gone along to get along. If abortion had stayed restricted to the first trimester before viability, I would have remained silent. The fact is that less than 8% of abortions are performed because of rape, fetal health, or maternal health. Over 92% are done because the woman doesn't want a child for whatever reason. The progressive push for ever-expanding abortion access woke people like me up. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow. Sivis Pasham, Parabellum.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop and lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop and lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, I was hoping to hear some bumper music as a cue. Oh, there it is. No problem. Oh, okay, thank you. Hey, I'm back after the break. And let me see, I have a few more notes here, and we will be getting to, I will be taking calls in the next hour. Remember, try to use the number to reach will be 512-248-8252. Now, if you want to give me the business, I'd love to hear the business. And I'm going to be very tolerant to your calls, but the one thing I will not tolerate is repetition and boredom. That's my job, right? So try to make your points excellent and compelling. And if you find a hypocrisy or something in my arguments you don't like, please try to point it out, and maybe I'll fess up and say you got a point. But maybe I won't, and we'll find out. But either way, now there's a Chinese saying, and I love this one, because this goes for people like myself. You know, the word philosopher, and when I was a teenager, I decided when I was about 17, I said, you know, like I didn't really like the thought of going into business. I had no idea what to do with my life. And I knew two things, though. I wanted to play guitar like Jerry Garcia, and I also wanted to be a good philosopher and figure out how the world works. And the word itself, philosopher, comes from philos, right, which would be, I think, Greek for love of, and then sophie, which is wisdom, like the name Sophia. So a philosopher is the lover of wisdom. Now, the Chinese Taoist, and I really like the Chinese Taoist, Huang Zhu, he said, when a philosopher's arguments are not attacked, he pines away. And so if you really want to torture me, don't call. But please, I do want to be attacked, and I do want to hear some arguments. And also, if you want to bring up, like, I remember I might have slighted some of the other callers in the past on issues, and if you guys have grudges against me, I know I was a little rough on some of you a couple of weeks ago or even last week. If you want to talk about whatever topic, if you want to bring up the Uvalde school shooting, if you want to bring up the Ukraine war, if you want to bring up the end of, not Globo Homo, because that's not over, but of Gay Pride Month, right? If you want to talk about that, feel free to call, and call now and call early, because I tell you, that's the secret to getting on Farron's line and to be the first guy on his show, right? Is you call in at about 9:57 a.m. and you dial 512-248-8252, and we'll get to your call after the top of the hour break.
Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.